Plan A didn't work out. All that means is there are still 25 letters in the alphabet to try out. Challenges arise, but it takes strong character to figure things out. Don't feel like that strong type of person? Or feeling beaten down and lost? You are not alone. You are a human being doing your absolute best, and there are so many people that have similar experiences. I am joined today with Dr. Yusuf Rahman, who found himself at the crossroads of his life and career. By learning to adapt and maintaining a positive mental attitude, he took control of his circumstances. This is Medicine Beyond the Science. Yusuf, I want to thank you today for being here on the podcast, Medicine Beyond the Science. And again, what we always try to look at is expanding ourselves and looking at the human element. There's always the science, there's always the medicine. But again, thank you so much for coming on. And what I just want to ask you, just give us a quick background on your situation. You were going through medical school, you put so much time, money, sacrifice, and now you're coming up to the matching process. Could you just explain to the audience exactly what was going on at that time?
In terms of the match process itself, my general story was between board exams and expectations. I can't say I was the top 1% of the board exams, and I can't say that I applied to many other places aside from where I expected to match into through my medical rotations and where I really expected to end up in life, which honestly speaking was closer to home, closer to family. And that's where I saw myself at the beginning. That being said, come match day, I woke up to the tone of "you did not match into residency." And that's honestly, well, a very heartbreaking moment when you, the first time you hear that. So come match day, you wake up in the morning and you figure out, oh, I didn't match into the program of my choice, and I don't have a program lined up for me at this point. What are my next steps?
How did you feel right at the moment? Like, you literally wake up, I mean, you have everything, you had your expectations, you have family, friends, everybody looking at you. You have other friends around you matching. And now you think to yourself, what just happened?
And that's, in the immediate moment, that's the only thing you can think until you kind of adjust. Initially, it's, how do you put it, like a proverbial slap in the face.
Yeah.
And after a certain point, you want to kind of, your initial knee-jerk reaction is to, well, like, number one, check your pulse, make sure you're awake, make sure it's not a bad dream, because it feels like that. And then you have to take a step back for as long as you can in the immediate setting, albeit with a sense of urgency, and talk to yourself, like, what can I do from here? What is my next step? What can I do next that would immediately be my next step forward on this path that I really expected?
Now, I don't know. If I was facing that situation, it's almost like you want to cover it up and you don't want to tell anybody. Like, so how long was it after you find out that morning that you finally kind of opened up and told someone, like, hey, I didn't match?
Well, I remember it clearly in the beginning, at least, was the that morning I was pretty sure I was in my room up here, actually in my current Long Island house with my family.
Yeah.
And I mean, just you need to tell somebody. It's not in my opinion healthy to keep that into yourself. It eats away at you. But at least the initial blow, you tell your parents, you tell your family. Yes. They're generally pretty supportive. They love you.
And I think that's something I want to tell the audience, and we want to tell them too, is that there are people that support and love you, and there are people that are understanding. It's easy for us to try to hide because we're afraid that we're going to get judged. Maybe I wasn't good enough or anything. And that's not true. That's not true at all. It's just circumstances happen. That's life. But you have people, you do have a support group. And did you feel that that really played a role for you? Like that support that you got from them? Like, all right, I can get through this.
Absolutely. So with the initial blow of not matching and then figuring out my next steps, of course, my family was the biggest factor, supporting me, kind of pushing me forward. Albeit after a certain point, it's up to you. It's still your career and it's your next step to put your best foot forward. But they can be there to back you up and support you emotionally. Because honestly speaking, it's very easy to say this is an objective thing. But sure. It definitely does play a very large emotional blow to you off the bat, hits your confidence pretty hard and makes you want to shut down and tuck away for a while. It'll be probably not the best move, but it's very natural to feel that way. That being said, also, I was very fortunate enough to have, I still am very fortunate enough to have a very supportive friend group. The people I studied through with med school, the people I've known since my undergrad, who I soon told that as well. And I mean, that comes with the initial shock factor for them as well on what do they even tell you at that point. But they're still there right. for support. They're not going to be the people to judge you. And everybody needs that kind of support.
You know, I got to say you're a very lucky person in that case because some people don't have that. But you'll be surprised. In the end, you think, I don't got anybody to help or I don't have anybody. Everybody's judging me. But in the end, people really don't want to judge you. People, I do believe in the goodness of people and that they do look out for each other. And we live in a very unique generation now, our time compared to our parents, grandparents, other people, is that social media has literally infiltrated everything in our lives. And we've become so good at putting a filter over everything and being like, yeah, my life is great. This is going fantastic. And we're always checking and going, look how happy that person is. Look how successful they're doing. And we're constantly, at least I find this in myself, comparing each other. It's true. You compare yourself and go, well, I'm not as doing as successful as this person. And then did you ever find, even before the matching process or seeing in med school, like that comparison, do you ever find you catch yourself thinking to yourself, you're comparing or, you know, it could be doing better or anything like that? Did you ever have like those thoughts going on?
Well, it's very funny to even bring that up. Me personally, of course I have. I say that without a doubt.
Yeah. We're all human. We all do.
Exactly. And I think, not just exclusive to the medical field, any sort of people who have ambition, all people have ambition, but it's very natural for us to want to compare ourselves to others who are doing better or worse than ourselves and seeing where our situation is. A lot of what ifs, what am I doing wrong? What are they doing right? What am I doing right? And it's easy to kind of lose track of what your narrative is in between dozens and hundreds of different other narratives that you kind of see in playing for other people at the same time.
Yeah. What was it like? Because I go on social media, I go on Facebook, Instagram, and everybody's like, I matched, check me out. And they're all putting it all over. I mean, it's crazy. Like for a whole month, I just get flooded with everybody's matching. Did that happen to you during that time? Where you literally are sitting there and you're going, oh my God. And it just, everybody's matching.
So absolutely that happened to me.
Oh my God.
That being
said, I couldn't imagine.
I'm sorry?
I just couldn't imagine. That's so hard.
It's a different kind of feeling, for sure. I mean, on one hand, you're happy that all your friends and your people you've trained with at that point, that they're matching, they're moving on with their life. You're very happy for them. And that's the good feeling in your heart. But the bad feeling in your heart is like, am I going to be along with them? And mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very big thing to have an unknown factor in your life. That's the major playing factor in your life moving forward.
Sure. I mean, and I think it all has to do with expectations because you go into this expecting to match. You go into this expecting to be successful. Nobody sits there or starts any endeavor in life expecting like, oh, this is all going to just fall apart. You're not going to start anything if that's the case. And I don't know if you've ever really read up on him, but one of the most impactful people to me was the old Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius. And he had these philosophical writings known as the Meditations. Fantastic. If you ever have a chance, definitely read some of it, because it's really unique the way this man thought. And what was most intriguing to me was his thoughts on expectations. He said that a lot of suffering that we go through is because life doesn't match up to our expectations. That if you were to able to curb your expectations, or just try to look at life and step out from it for a moment, you would be having less suffering, because oftentimes we, because of social media, because of parental pressure, because of people around us, our peer group, we have these expectations that we need to be just on top of our game 24/7. And did you ever feel that pressure around you? Like, wow, like, I mean, first of all, why'd you even want to get into medicine when you were a kid? Like, was there somebody around in your family that was a doctor? Like, where did that come from, that drive?
So expectations, again, first of all, I'm not exactly a history buff, so I haven't read up on him before, but I'm sure my brother would scold me for that, because he's a bit of a buff for the classics.
Oh, definitely talk to him about it later. Bring it up. He'd be like, what? Right at the dinner table. I'm just like, hey, let's talk about Marcus Aurelius.
He probably would be able to. I'm not going to lie.
That's fantastic.
But expectations, and so where did my expectations begin, and kind of where do they continue to? And I'll kind of continue my little narrative there as well. It would probably help out a little bit. So expectations for me, in terms of why I wanted to be a doctor in the first place, besides just being a lover of the sciences and biology and the chemistries and whatnot. And that's always been kind of my trend through high school, through college. And I wanted to go into something that would be more of towards public service. And I couldn't see anything that would be more ideal for my place. That being said, though, I'd be lying to say if familial expectations didn't play a certain degree of expectations as well. My dad he's an endocrinologist, or he used to be. He's an outpatient practitioner now. And my grandfather was a nephrologist.
Wow, so it's in the family.
That's a continuous sort of thing. Albeit none of my other three brothers want to go into medicine at all at this point.
but I mean, you're continuing it on, and that's definitely, I could see a pressure in that, or expectation that, like, hey, I want to not only meet what they did in the past, but I also kind of want to chart my own path and
exactly
push forward too.
Now, to continue on the narrative on personal expectations and kind of like the overarching story, what we're talking about with going through medical school, going through a match process, and continuing your professional degree. So I know we were talking about expecting to stay in New York, expecting to go into a higher academic program in internal medicine, which is always my thought process. So to continue that narrative of what happened exactly on that day I didn't match, I got on the phone, I talked to many different programs, I applied through what would be like the equivalent of the SOAP process right now. And I did end up getting a match, albeit it was, this is something I didn't really see coming in my life. I ended up moving to West Virginia for 3 years. And
that's a little different than New York.
It's a little bit different than New York.
Just a tad.
Albeit I was in a city, so to speak, but the cities down there aren't what I thought the cities would be up here. But it was definitely a different way of life, and not something I expected for myself. It's not something I didn't expect to go to a small residency in the suburban/rural area, I should say. And at first, coming down there, I was disappointed with myself. I was still feeling the backlash of what did I do to get myself down to West Virginia from New York. That being said, though, I think there's a certain amount of expectation that you have with yourself at first, and you realize that sometimes these things can be a little bit more pliable than you once thought. It doesn't have to be this one straight path. And you learned that your expectations, even if they take a different pathway, they can still line up with what you want to do in the end, so long as you put in that same hard work that you know that you're able to in the first place.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with your mental attitude.
like you're going to be questioning yourself. You're going to be facing some mental obstacles, obviously. But it kind of brings me back to recently. I just moved here. I'm living in Florida now, but I was living out in the Mojave Desert, and I had the privilege of being on a Navy base and doing some research for the U.S. Navy. And something that I learned, it wasn't just the science that we were doing that was cool, but also the mental attitude. The Navy SEALs are just, if you ever have a chance to hang around these guys, they are next level mental attitude. Things fall apart, good. That's all they have to say. Oh, completely, you broke your leg? Good. Gives you a minute to just like lay down and then get back up and keep running. But that mental state, it's applicable. Doesn't matter if you're a warrior. It applies to everything in life. And the one thing that they would say, and I used to hear this mantra, was didn't get promoted? Good. More time to get better. Didn't get the job you wanted? Good. Go out, gain more experience, and build a better resume. Got beat? Good. We learned something. Unexpected problems? Good. Now we have some time to figure out a solution. And it seems like the same thing happened with you. You got a curveball thrown at you, but you worked with it. You didn't lay down. You didn't make yourself a victim. You went out and things didn't go to your expectations. You weren't in New York. You're in West Virginia, but you're still pushing towards your goal. How important was a mental and keeping that positive mental attitude in your life?
Mental attitude is definitely not something that's original to going through medicine. It's exactly what you're saying. It goes to anything we're doing in our everyday lives, and easily on an everyday basis, it's more than 50% of the struggle. Walk into a difficult situation, a difficult task, a difficult expectation, there's no way that you're going to meet that expectation or be up for the task unless you're mentally prepped to say, this is going to be difficult, but I know I can handle this. This is going to be difficult, but I know that I will wake up the next day and be able to tackle this again, even if I get beat to a pulp this current day. And it's not something that comes inherently, unfortunately. It's something that we have to work at. I wouldn't call myself a warrior in that aspect, but maybe more of a human aspect of learning how to find your own mental fortitude, be your own best advocate, always put your own best foot forward. And when life throws you a curveball, try to take it head on. And if you can't, get back up and try it again. And if it doesn't work out, then the next step really is to reassess yourself. And there's no shame in saying you failed a couple times and saying that maybe I need to take another angle on this, or maybe I need to take a look at my life again and see, is what I'm doing something that's consistent with me right now? And what can I do or change in my life that might help me better in life in more ways than just is towards the career, more so that's towards your own mental health, and more so towards is what you think is your next best step forward in life.
And, you know, you may not think of yourself as an inspiring person sometimes, but just sitting here listening to you, I've honestly felt really inspired by the way that you looked at this as, even though we're young when we're going through these school processes, but you really took this as an adult and as someone with wisdom far older than your years. And you said, I'm not going to let this beat me down. And you adapt and you change. And to me, I think that's an inspiring thing, honestly. And on behalf of the International Journal of Clinical Research, I first want to just thank you for coming to this podcast today. I once heard this statement, one day you will tell your story of how you overcame what you went through, and it will be someone else's survival guide. And I really hope that's the case for the listeners today, that you may be going through some issues. You may be going through some trial. It may not be matching. It may not be something else. But it's, in the end, the core, the foundation, it's all the same. How you attack this problem, how you adapt, how you keep a mental attitude, how you keep the right people around you, friends, family, and understand that people do love you and that you're not alone in this, and that you could see successful stories like someone like Yusuf, who faced against a real big challenge, but then came out successful because he refused to give up. And Yusuf, just before we close this podcast, what advice would you give to the listeners based on you overcoming these hurdles?
My best advice is, even in the face of adversity, when it's easy to say that life's getting too tough, always look for your own support. Always be your own best advocate. Remember, you're always supposed to be putting yourself forward and keeping your own mental attitude up. Nobody's going to advocate for you as much as you, as yourself is going to. That's kind of a fact of life I've kind of grown to know over the past couple of years. That being said, though I do appreciate my own help in my own life, I also like a little bit of a shout out, I suppose, to all of my friends, my family, and even my residency program, all my co-residents who were also supportive throughout my residency career. And without that kind of support behind me, and without the opportunities that was given to me in my life at the same time, I don't think I could have been where I was, on top of my own mantra, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, there's no such thing as the self-made man, the self-made woman. I always hear that, oh, I'm a self-made this. That's not true. Nobody is self-made. Everybody at one point in their life had someone support them, someone teach them, someone train them. There is nobody that is completely 100% self-made. That's just not true. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be able to share your story with us. It's great being able to talk to somebody else from Long Island, too. We got to represent, you know? We got to make Long Island look good to the entire world.
Always.
What do they call it? Strong Island, the pride.
That's exactly it.
But, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got the best accents, everything. And you know what? In the end of the day, it's good to laugh. It's good to have a good time, to relax. Because if we take everything so seriously, you're going to fall apart. And again, thank you again on behalf of everything here at Medicine Beyond the Science. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Jake. You too.
If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, please subscribe to wherever you'd like to hear podcasts. Until then, be curious and be kind.